If you're writing your about page or any of the marketing assets about I and not making it about them, you're really, really missing the boat. If you're just listing off credentials and nothing else, you're not connecting with your dream client.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Happy New Year. Hey there, it's Tracy Matthews here, the host of the Thrive by Design podcast and the Chief Visionary Officer over at Flourish and Thrive Academy. Welcome to episode 130. Hey there, I love the beginning of the year, and today, I think it's the second day of the year, January 2nd. I am thrilled to be here today, not only to wish you a Happy New Year, but to bring you a very amazing episode that I'm super stoked about. So I'll dive right into the topic momentarily. However, I just wanted to say, like, you know, this is a great time of year. The beginning of the year is one of my favorite times of any year because it's an opportunity for us to start fresh after the hectic holiday season. So first and foremost, I hope you had an amazing holiday and you got to spend a lot of time with your friends and family. And I hope that you didn't work too hard. I know as a jewelry designer myself that December always seems to creep up on us. And November and December are two of the busiest months of the year. And the beginning of the year is about the first time that we can even take a breath to relax. So take a deep breath in and let it out. Get excited because this is going to be the best year ever. I can already feel it. And we're going to be kicking off the year with a great episode of Thrive by Design. So for those of you who don't know, we've been working really hard over here to make a lot of changes behind the scenes to really serve you better. One question that we've gotten over and over again, like on a, it feels like it's on heavy rotation. You know that term that they use in the radio world, when a song's on heavy rotation, it's on all the time. Well, I feel like we hear this same struggle all the time on heavy rotation because a lot of people are really confused about how to really share their story. And so, and what I mean by story is that it goes a lot, your brand story about your jewelry brand and who you're attracting and all that stuff goes a lot more beyond just your skill set and your education and techniques. In fact, if you're only focusing on that, you're making a huge mistake. And I'm going to tell you why in this episode. So today's episode is the 11 key elements of a remarkable brand story. And I wanted to give you a little hint here that your brand story is your biggest marketing tool because it really encompasses just about everything that you do. And I got a little secret because, well, I'll share the little secret. It's not so much of a secret, but I'll share it with you in a second. But first, who of you listened to episode 129? I know that it launched the day after Christmas on Boxing Day for those of you in Canada or other places that celebrate that day. But it's a really great episode. And if you haven't listened to it, after you listen to this one, I would love for you to listen to it. Episode 129 is all about picking your word for the year. So if you listened to episode 129 last week and you already have your word for the year or you've done a similar exercise somewhere else, I would love for you to head on over to the show notes and post your word below the podcast episode in the comments. You can also post this on iTunes if you're listening to us on iTunes. The reason why I want to know your word for the year is because this is your opportunity to really set the right intention as you move forward in the year. And this informs everything that you do. So make sure that you listen to it. And after you listen to it, please, please, please share your word with us. You could share it in the comments below the post and share it by tweeting at us. You could share it on Instagram, wherever, ever you feel. It's just, we want to hear, we want to be able to support you so that you can make this intention or this word, turn that into the manifestation of your reality for next year and really kick some booty. All right. And we have another way that we're going to help you do that this year, and that is with our jewelry brand makeover bootcamp. Every year, we love to kick it off with something big, and we have our classic bootcamp that is just really life-changing. For those of you who haven't experienced one of our bootcamps or trainings before, our designers are always blown away. So I highly encourage you to join us, especially if you are someone who's either just starting out and you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed by all the choices you have to make, or maybe your jewelry is really awesome and you're trying to sell more of it to people beyond your family and friends. I know you're just trying to get more exposure, right? Or maybe you've even like gotten a bit of momentum, but for some reason you're hitting some sort of plateau and you don't know why the stuff that you're putting on social media and your marketing efforts aren't really working. Good news, because this episode's going to help today with that and all of you. Or maybe you already have a pretty good business, but you're trying to really get to that next level. Everything not only that you're going to learn in this episode, but how we curate our bootcamp is really, really going to help you. So I hope you'll join us for the Jewelry Brand Makeover Bootcamp. It officially starts January 8th. So head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/makeover to get in. It's awesome. You're going to love it. All right. So I wanted to get started and talk a little bit more about how to create a remarkable brand story, but also the 11 keys to that. So I want to share with you a little bit about why this is so important first, because your story becomes the most important key differentiator between you and about a gajillion other designers and makers who could be viewed as your competitors. But if you have this brand story element down, you will like basically be leaving your competition in the dust. It's not something that it's something that no one else can be. No one else can be you, and no one else can be your brand. And this is why it's so important. And you also have to remember that most designers and makers, honestly, no shame or embarrassment if you're one of them, but most designers and makers, especially in the jewelry industry, think that their brand story is their education, their proprietary techniques, all about the product, or maybe their history and stuff like that. But that is not it at all. They're all related, but you're missing out because you are not making your customer the center of the story if you're only talking about yourself, my friend. And a lot of times a brand story is handled like a resume. I don't know if you can giggle at yourself if you've done this, but have you ever read like a really boring about page on a website that's just like a list of credentials, or it's super dry and every sentence starts with I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. You're like, well, that's great for you, but what's in it for me? Like that's sort of what you're thinking. So if you're writing your brand story about page or any of the marketing assets about I and not making it about them, you're really, really missing the boat. Because if you're just listing off credentials and nothing else, you're not connecting with your dream clients. And this is really all about luring in and attracting more dream clients and getting consistent sales. And so this is sort of the first part of it. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about luring in the dream clients with your brand story in next week's episode. So get excited and mark your calendar because you're definitely going to want to listen to it. But this week is really more about the 11 key elements of your brand story. And that might seem like a lot, but when you kind of hear how I lay it out, you're going to think, oh, okay, well, that maybe seems like some things I have to think about. But you'll have sort of the tools now to kind of get it going, which is awesome. All right. So I want you to think about it this way. You probably have some favorite musicians. So I have three that I think about all the time. And like, if I were like, they immediately come to my head. I love a ton of music, but if I were to think of three bands or musicians that came to mind that were my favorites, it would be Radiohead, Adele, and Lady Gaga. And they're all for different reasons. So Radiohead kind of brings me back to a moment in time. And I remember I always liked their music, and especially like, you know, that song Creep that was in the movie Clueless way back in the day. I'm probably dating myself because I'm probably much older than a lot of you. It brings me back to this place in time. And I remember when their Kid A album came out, I was like, oh my God, this is the best music ever. I would listen to it when I was driving around San Francisco, when I lived there. I would listen to it in my studio. It got me super pumped up and inspired. And no matter what, like even to this day, when I, over the years, like when I would make yoga playlists, Radiohead would always be on it. Or if I'm creating something to chill out or relax to, Radiohead is always on it. And they have become like, Radiohead, this band, has really become part of my like chilled out relaxation part of my life that, you know, maybe some of their music isn't all relaxing, but it still has so much value. And I love everything that they put out because I personally think that they are musical geniuses and the things that they do really connect with my soul. So the next example is Adele, who is amazing. And if you don't think she's amazing like I do, that's okay. No big deal. But Rolling in the Deep was one of my first go-to karaoke songs when I started actually like getting into karaoke more. And it was like a challenge song for me. I was like, I don't think I can sing it, but I ended up belting it out. And regardless of how I sounded, it just made me feel so good because it really resonated and connected with me on a deep level, maybe because of what was going on in my life at the time, who knows. But anyway, that album, 21, was the first album that I really had connected with Adele on. But then I started listening to some of her older work, like the album 19. When 25 came out, man, I was blown away. And I remember I was on this writing trip to Italy, and I'd already fallen in love with Adele. I thought she was hilarious and just an amazing singer and so beautiful. Just everything about her was just awesome. That a student of ours, Francie Mancini, mentioned that when I was traveling on this writing retreat in Italy, that she knew I wanted to travel around. And so she had sent me this link to some events that were going on in Verona. And it just so happened that Adele was doing a concert. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to Verona. I'm going to see Adele. I went like out of my way, hours and hours and hours. I was in like, on the coast of Italy and took the train into Verona. And I ended up, spending a couple days there. And I was so disappointed when it started pouring rain because I had spent so much money on these tickets. And I didn't feel so bad that I had spent so much money on the tickets when I found out that someone next to me had paid almost double or triple what I spent. But, I was really excited for the concert. And the day of the concert, it was pouring rain in the morning and it's an outdoor stadium. But the most amazing thing happened. The skies opened up. Even though I spent all day looking for a rain slicker, I did have to wear it. Adele still came on. She started the concert with a rain slicker over her Burberry dress, and she was saying that she was so disappointed because there was a chance they were going to have to cancel the concert because the rain can't get on the equipment or else they could electrocute and cause fire and all that stuff. And she came out with a great sense of humor. She was engaging the crowd, beautiful voice, and it just made me love her anymore because of her story and how she was really connecting with the audience in her cockneyed Italian that was so funny with her British accent. But, I will be a fan of hers for life, primarily because of that experience. It was amazing because of, what I got to see, the personality that I got to see behind the brand. And then there is the wonderful Lady Gaga. So for those of you who follow Lady Gaga, I remember seeing her on local television probably like 10 years ago when she was just starting out. And I thought she was weird. I was like, what's going on here? But there's something about what she was doing that was very different. And as she started to become more popular, she launched really amazing albums. And then, Bad Romance became one of my go-to karaoke songs. I think it all comes back to karaoke for me. Just kidding. I don't usually sing Radiohead. But regardless, Lady Gaga has evolved a lot over the years. And when she launched this most recent album, which was a very different, type of album. And I know her little monsters or whatever she calls her fans were kind of had some lashback in the beginning. But when you sort of like dive in and listen to the music, you're like, oh my God, this music has meaning and purpose. And I can see this journey that Lady Gaga is bringing us on. And then the thing that really sealed the deal for me, I mean, I've been a huge fan of Lady Gaga. I love her music and I love singing it too. Some of the songs, the ones that I can sing. And, I just watched her movie that's on Netflix called 5'2". And I was just like, oh my gosh, to see the story behind how much energy goes into what she does to produce an album, to really appease her fans, to show up. I mean, the girl is in pain, like from dancing around and doing all that stuff. And she shows up like nobody's business. And even though you might be thinking like, what does music and jewelry have anything to do with it? It's really about how the artist, because we're all artists, connect with their audience and make their audience the center of attention. And, Radiohead does that because of the way that they pose their fan clubs. Adele does that because of the way that she engages with her people. During that concert, she had at least 5 people in the audience up on stage, and also one couple got engaged at that show. So she just does this in so many different ways. And same with Lady Gaga. Everything that she does is for her fans. So think about how you can position your brand story, making your customer the center of the story or the hero of the story, or make them feel like what you're doing actually matters to them. And we do this by creating a remarkable brand story. You got it? All right. So over here at Flourish and Thrive Academy, we call your brand story the DSP, or the desired sharing proposition. That's actually the long version of it, but it contains a couple of components. The purpose of your DSP and the key components of a remarkable brand story, really the purpose of it is to create a connection with your dream client so that you can lure them in. So if you see those jewelry brands who have customers for life, or the big brands, the iconic brands, they're all doing this. They have created a connection, an emotional connection with their customers, and they're able to lure them in with everything that they do throughout their marketing. And it has to do with how they're positioning their brand story. And I remember this happens all the time. You know, the thing that, you know, sets designers apart from other designers, when you talk to buyers, when you talk to editors, when you talk to all sorts of kind of people, reps, anyone who's in the jewelry industry, who's actually on the consumer end, and you ask them why they actually buy a certain brand for their store, or buy directly from a designer, or want to represent a designer or cover them in the PR, is because of their story, like what sets them apart and how they're connecting. So we can all do this, and there's a really simple way to do this. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed thinking like I can never compete with a big brand, because what I do want to tell you is that you can. And it doesn't matter where you are in the stage of your business, because what I do know is that every single year, my brand as a jewelry designer is evolving, and our brand at Flourish and Thrive is evolving as the more we get to know you guys. And so I want you to remind you that this is not a like destination. This is a journey. You're continuing to evolve your brand story, to involve your customers, to become a better brand, and to create this emotional connection. And it's all by remembering what the purpose of your brand story is, and that is to create a connection between you and your dream clients, and to use that to sort of lure them into your brand. And then also, I want to remind you that there are several parts of the DSP, and you might have heard me talking about this a little bit more in the music analogy, but it's really about creating desire for your brand, getting people to share in that desire, whether it be like engagement back and forth, or to actually like buy and share what they're doing. And then also being able to bring your customers along the desire journey. And these are the three main components of the desired sharing proposition, which also includes your brand story. So let's talk a little bit more about what makes a remarkable brand story and the 11 key elements of that. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to use this in your marketing. So the key components are your why. Why are you in business in the first place? And you probably heard us talking about this. If you haven't picked up Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, you must read it. It is a must read. You can also find TED Talks on this topic by Simon Sinek, and so many other things. But this is really, really important place to start. Because if you're starting with the what, which is your jewelry, or the how you do it, your proprietary techniques, you're creating a total alienation with your customers. What matters to them is your why. So my why, and I'm just going to share this with you so you can understand, the reason why I got into jewelry design was actually because my mom died. This is like sounds really crazy. My mom died. I was trying to get back to school, and the only major that I could take that would allow me to work full-time and also go to school full-time, taking an overload of classes, was a European studies major. I really wanted to be a fine arts major, but I opted for this European studies major that allowed me to take fine arts classes as electives, and some of them actually even counted towards the major. So the first class that I took was a jewelry making class. And I say this because if my mother hadn't passed away, I wouldn't have gotten the grant that allowed me to go back to Loyola Marymount, where I ended up graduating from. And I would have never taken that jewelry class because the jewelry class was an elective. And I really do feel like this is the why behind it. But also another deeper why is that it's really important to me having a deep connection to things that I've inherited from my mother, and being able to wear those pieces of jewelry, but to create some sort of personal connection between a piece of jewelry and my clients. Because for what I do, I know that jewelry is, or the jewelry that I design, a very important piece in their life, or represents a memory often. Maybe it's an event like a wedding, or maybe it's that time that they went with their grandmother to go get ice cream, or, you know, there's so many memories that jewelry can evoke. It could also be, you know, for my clients, I get a lot of people bringing me stones that they travel with or that they found while they were traveling. So it could be taking you back to that once in a lifetime bucket list chance you had to go to Sri Lanka and ride an elephant or something. You know, jewelry is really powerful and important. And when you can define your why and why it should matter to your customers, this becomes a huge component in your brand story. And I want you to remember that. The next piece might seem really obvious is who you design for or serve. And so a lot of us have this vague idea of who our dream clients are, but the more specific you can get, the more important and more impactful you will have it. So you want to be able to dial this person down to a specific avatar or a specific person, like a persona, I guess is the best way to put it. Maybe it's not a real person, but maybe it's like the representation of someone that you would love to sell to. And the way that I've derived mine over the years is it's like basically a combination of multiple people. Me, one of my best friends who's also bought jewelry from me and is a client and loves jewelry, one of my best clients, and my best friend. So if you think about it like that in those terms, like it's not that hard to really like dial in your dream client. I know a lot of the designers who have gone through our Laying the Foundation course over here at Flourish and Thrive Academy or a Dream Client Intensive have all said that, you know, could my dream client be me, but just with more money? The answer is yes, but you probably need to push it a little bit beyond that. So component number one is why. Component number two is who. Component number three is the core values that you stand for as a company. And the reason this is important is because if you don't have strong defining core values, then you likely don't have a solid footing, as solid, I should say, a footing to stand on. And when you can clearly define your core values, this really helps your customers connect with what they value to what you value as a brand. So for instance, Melissa Joy Manning, one of her strong core values is that they have a sustainability and responsibility, core value of sustainability, responsibility, and green practices. Well, her customers are very interested in those same things. And that's one of the reasons that they buy her beautifully designed jewelry. And it's clearly stated about what she stands for as a company. And she's very transparent about it. So also what you stand for as a human being. So you might have other things that are really important to you, like maybe animal rescue is important to you, or maybe raising money for girls who want to go to college who can't afford it is important to you. So make sure that if you have something that's really important to you that you stand for, that that is clearly communicated in your brand story, and you can communicate why that would be important to your customers to contribute to your brand. So a good example of this is one of our bootcamp coaches, and you'll get access to her if you show up, is Melissa Camilleri Anisich. She has a brand called Compliment Inc. And her brand is all about uplift. Like when we uplift others, we all rise up. I'm getting her tagline wrong, but it's something along those lines. Anyway, she's a former school teacher, and her avatar, her dream client avatar, is actually a school teacher. But what she knows is that her teachers that buy from her are really dedicated to supporting students in their education. And so Melissa started a scholarship fund to send underprivileged girls to college, and especially those that are first in their family. So do you see how this is all aligned? Like she's a teacher, education's important to her. Her avatar is a teacher and she's sending people to college. And that incorporates not only the core values of her brand, but also what she stands for as a person and a designer. I also think a really important part of your brand story is what makes you quirky, different, or original, or what makes your brand quirky, different, or original. So for me, you always hear me talking about how I love to sing karaoke. Well, I always incorporate that in fun ways into my marketing. And I do that for over here at Flourish and Thrive Academy, but it's also incorporated into my jewelry brand marketing because people are curious about who you are behind the scenes. And if you're someone who doesn't want to be in the forefront, think about what makes your brand quirky. A great example of this is Poppin. They design office products, but I love their office products because they're so colorful, they're so different. And like they have these ginormous poster board style size post-its that are like neon pink and neon orange. So they've taken like what everyone needs to use every day, but made them sort of like shout out loud. So we can all do the same thing with our brands. You just have to think about what makes you a little bit different, a little bit quirky, and a little bit weird, and connect that. Number six is your mission statement. And this is a clear, concise, just a few words of exactly what it is that you do. So I read somewhere that mission statement should be no longer than 15 words, but Many of the best examples are really, really short, like 4 to 8 words. My mission statement for my jewelry business is to create jewelry that connects. Because for me, it's really important that I'm creating an emotional connection for my clients with what it is that I am designing for them. So you get the picture. I'm not going to go into how to write a mission statement in here or a vision statement, which is 7. So 7 is where you're going. So the vision of your company is sort of where you see your company going in like 5 years. This is sort of like who you want to impact, how you want to show up in the world, and sort of where your business is going. So the vision for my business, just to kind of pull it full circle, is to continue to make people happy with my jewelry and to be able to reach more people by creating a ready-to-wear line of jewelry inspired by my custom commission designs. So for me, I see, you know, my company growing and also expanding into new categories, but it's not where I am yet. And you can go much more in depth. I know that other people have, you know, charities that they want to reach or foundations or different things that they want to do. The vision for your company can expand beyond, way beyond the mission, but it's really about where you want to go in the next couple of years or so, or, you know, in the grand scheme of things as well. So the next part, 8, as part of your brand story, this gets into more of the what, like your proprietary materials, which I can hardly say, proprietary techniques, maybe the style that you design in. These are the important things that, you know, sort of are the what of your brand. You design jewelry that, you know, has a bunch of rose cut diamonds, or you have jewelry that has hand hammered techniques. Like, these are all the proprietary techniques and materials, sort of the what that you do. That is important for your brand story, but it shouldn't be the center of your brand story, if that makes sense. The next part of this, 9, are your points of distinctions. This is sort of taking your proprietary techniques and your style, or like the what you do, and takes it that step further. So for instance, we have a designer in our community, Jeanette Cookson Walker, and she has amazing jewelry. She's also one of our boot camp coaches, so you should definitely come to boot camp, the Jewelry Brand Makeover Boot Camp. She does sand casting, which is a really unique technique where you like actually cast the jewelry molten metal in like a sand model. One thing that she does that's very different than other people who sand cast is that she'll let people collect sand from all over the world or from their special beach and use that for the sand casting technique. And one of our coaches for our SOS program, Inta Rickenbrenner, she's one of my good friends, and I can't say her last name, actually bought a band from Jeanette and collected sand. Her and her husband Troy collected sand from all over where they were. So that is a huge point of distinction that really sets her apart from the other sand casters. So it's like taking that next step. Or maybe you live on, you know, an island in the middle of the ocean and you only use a certain type of seashell in your design. So there's a lot of things that you can kind of pull out that are specific points of distinction that make your brand different and unique. So 10, the 10th key element to creating an amazing brand story really has to do with how you show up for your customer. So this could be your customer service, your communication, what you're putting out there, how you treat them. And ultimately what this does is creates how they feel about your brand, creates this energy around how they feel about your brand. So that is really important because ultimately what we're trying to do is get to 11, which is to make your customers the center of your brand, which is super important. So this is basically what ends up getting them hooked on what you do, creating that emotion around your product, getting them to buy into your story and really taking them on that desired journey. So if we want to think back to those examples of musicians that I talked about earlier in the brand, all those musicians, whether it be Radiohead, Adele, or Lady Gaga, are helping to hook me and millions of other people into what they stand for in the music industry, but also how they're making us feel as we listen to their music and experience their musical desire journey. So we do the same thing with our jewelry, guys. So get excited about this. And if your head's spinning, don't you worry about it. And I want to remind you that this is not your about page. This is not your artist bio. This is not your resume. This is also not your professional bio. Any of those things. Artist statement, about page, professional bio. No, it's not that. But it is, your brand story is used to help inform all of those pieces of writing. So it's really important. This is like the bigger picture of everything that you stand for. And then you take, you dial it down and take little bits and pieces of this to write all the content, all the marketing material that actually helps you connect with your dream clients and eventually lure them in. And to highlight this, I'm going to wrap it up with two other examples. So example number one is a brand called Soliloquy Jewelry. And I love what Karen Scully does with her marketing. She's a genius. She has like probably hundreds of thousands of followers now on Instagram. When I first started following her, she had about 10,000, and it's crazy. She used to sell all of her jewelry through Instagram and Etsy. She's recently moved over to a website, which I think is a smart move. And her designs are constantly sold out because of the way she positions her brand. She keeps people, her dream clients, in the loop. She's always showing them behind the scenes, hooking them on where she's traveling, what she's doing behind the bench, other things that are happening in her life. And you feel like you know so much about this brand just through visual imagery. And when she puts stuff out to actually sell it, when she's like released a collection or whatever, she sells out right away, like within hours sometimes, I've heard. It's pretty amazing. And boom, she's ready to go. People are there ready to buy it because they can't wait because they love her so much. And then another like really well-known example is someone like Jennifer Meyer Jewelry, who does a lot of personal kind of style jewelry. So her, you know, people are kind of following her on her brand journey because she has a lot of connections to celebrities and, you know, all the top celebs are wearing her work. Part of that probably because they're her friends, but then also because of she's had great connections with editors and stuff who've been able to place the designs on these celebrities. But she's also a mom and is really dedicated to family. So a lot of people that collect Jennifer Meyer jewelry are moms. They have a family. She leverages the two audiences, those who are celebrity obsessed and also those who are mothers, to really sort of wrap them into the types of designs that she creates. So there's a lot of ways that you can do this, guys, regardless of what your brand is. Soliloquy, Karen Scully at Soliloquy Jewelry is very different than Jennifer Meyer. And your brand probably is too. So I want you to think outside of the box about how you can really create a compelling brand story. No worries though, guys, because we are going to help you start dialing this in right away. So come join us for the Jewelry Brand Makeover Bootcamp. Head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/makeover. And we are going to help you start attracting more of your dream clients, start luring them in, to help you go from aspiring to rising so that you know, are really, all this effort that you're putting in is worth it. We're also going to help you kind of crush any insecurities that you might feel about putting yourself out there or lack of confidence, to know that you can get more sales and also get noticed and fall in love with your jewelry business if you've fallen out of it. I know that I have several times over my career, and it's nice to fall back in love with your business. And also, ultimately, we're going to help you create a crave-worthy brand that everyone's talking about so that you can create emotional connections with your potential clients. And also, remember, get to this core that people don't buy jewelry because they need it. They buy it because of your brand story. So we're going to walk you through some of the steps to getting there. So I really hope that you'll join us. It starts January 8th, but sign up now because we're already having a pre-party in the group. flourishthriveacademy.com/makeover. I promise you're going to love it. It's going to be an amazing opportunity for you to really rock it out this year in 2018. All right, you guys, happy new year again. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm excited to support you in 2018. Let's do this.